Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Friday, October 4th, 2019. And because of a glitch, a snafu, a technical difficulty, Wednesday's program didn't air during the morning edition of Mark and Friends. So Jason gets the day off today, and you will hear that broadcast in its entirety. But wait, there's more. Pastor Jason will give a series of messages next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, on being a disciple of Jesus, as I and 53 others will be traveling to Washington, D.C. on a special bus tour of our nation's capital. So here was Wednesday's program. Wednesday being the Prime Lifetimes in review. But wait, there's more. It's Holly's birthday.
Oh,
happy birthday, honey.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Last year was the big landmark, half a century.
Oh, well, so this so is like sweet a just of you a, to announce
yes.
that.
You're not supposed to say.
She looks so
now.
Good for 51. Good job.
Oh, my word. What's Holly? Wrong with you?
There's a 52. You know, it might be 50.
Okay, Mark, you're just
yeah,
digging
it's
a
52.
Hole. You are going down deep.
I lost a year in there.
And I think you're 75.
Oh, yeah. Do I look good for 75?
Sort of.
Yeah, the singing men, they would say, so say it's your 60th birthday or whatever, they say, you look really good for 70. It's yeah. like, oh, I'm only 60 or whatever
you're
the number would be.
You're not going to be able to dig yourself out of this. Yeah, happy birthday, Holly. Yeah.
Happy birthday,
happy
Holly.
Birthday.
All right. So, wow, a lot going on. Do you still see the Shekinah glory around me?
Okay, yeah.
You see, Sal? I spent some time with Bob DeJonia yesterday.
Yeah.
He's one
nice.
Of our super volunteers mm-hmm. that's over in the Rockville, Clinton, Indiana area. He came in, you know, it's like an hour and 20-minute drive to pick up papers. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 20, 25 bundles he picked up yesterday, and he services throughout Indiana. So I want to do a little shout-out for our Indiana listeners and our Indiana Prime Life Times readers.
But
look at these. I have three pages of locations throughout Indiana.
Yeah.
We cover towns Attica, Boswell, Cayuga, Clinton, Covington, Fowler, Kingman, Kentland, Rockville, West Lebanon, and Williamsport, Indiana.
Yeah.
And all these communities have anywhere from 2 to 5, 6, 7 different locations. Like Attica, Indiana, we're at the County Market, the CVS, Robbie's Restaurant, Watson's Tire and Auto Services.
I'm thinking about driving over there to that restaurant. Yeah.
Which one?
At Attica.
The Robbie's one? Yeah. Well, we have the Benjamin's Family Restaurant, the one in Covington.
Oh, you've been there.
And also the one in Clinton. Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where's that other restaurant? We had a meeting over there.
You talking about the beef?
Oh, that's Rossville.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Rossville.
Close to Indiana.
Yeah,
but anyways, that's another restaurant that carries our papers. But mm-hmm. all these different communities in Indiana. And the Indiana readers, they're really embracing the Prime Life Times paper. We go through thousands of them now.
Yeah.
So yesterday.
And we get feedback, too. I love it.
Yep. And so anyway, shout out to our Indiana listeners. Thanks for being a part of the Great News Radio listening family and the Prime Life Times readership. And we'll continue to service Indiana with great volunteers like Bob and his wife, Darnell. I don't know if she actually assists. Bob comes over with his truck or his SUV and loads it all up and does his thing. But
he's a nice guy.
Yeah, we appreciate Bob and Darnell and their support
of the
station.
And Richard Berkey drives over to
Indiana,
too.
He does the northern part of our Indiana listenership, much more towards the Attica and Williamsport and West Lebanon and such. And then he gets hooped in. And I think Richard actually has more stops than any of the guys.
Isn't that something?
He's the oldest. I think he's 79.
Oh, that's how we do things here, huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's how we keep our volunteers young.
I think you could stop right
now. Yeah, okay. So he's an old-timer. Actually, like one of our top salesmen, too.
That's
so
great.
Appreciate Richard Berkey so very much. So
thank you, Indiana.
Thank you, Indiana. Yeah. Let's see. For our Indiana listeners that want to drive over, let's see. We have all sorts of activities this Friday and Saturday. Two showings of the Good News production. It's a community gospel stage play. It kind of takes you from Genesis through Revelation and everything in between.
There's actually three showings.
Yeah, three different showings. One on Friday night, this Friday night at 7 p.m., and then two showings on Saturday, October 5th, 3 and 7. 7 p.m. Ticket prices are $15, and you can find out more at chmbibletheater.org, chmbibletheater.org, and it's at Pastor Jason's Church, the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet, right on Route 47 and Riverbend Boulevard. So come on out this Friday night, 7 p.m., or one of the showings on Saturday, 3 and 7 p.m. If you need more information, you can call 217-407-3022. 217-407-3022. And then finally, the Ball Brothers are coming to town. Now, some have said the Booth Brothers, they're great.
I did.
Yeah, the Booth Brothers are great, but the Ball Brothers are also great. And they'll be at the Virginia Theater on Friday night, November 1st at 7 p.m. And it's a fundraiser for the Pregnancy Resource Center and also for Mercy's Refuge. They both work together of Champaign. And you can find out more at the Virginia.org, thevirginia.org. There's VIP seating and then $19 reserve ticket seating. So that's coming up on Friday, November 1st. We also have a couple things going on this month. The Jarlene's Custard Cup. Look at page A3 in the October edition of the Prime Life Times, October 28th. If you visit Jarlene's in Champaign, now there is a Jarlene's in Danville, different owners and such, and I think they're actually closed by the end of this month, but the Jarlene's is open year-round here in Champaign, right on Kirby Avenue. And on the 28th of October, it's a Monday, 20% of all your purchases will be donated back to Great News Radio. So
I'm going.
A great excuse to go out and get ice cream. So
I might go a couple times.
Yeah, that's right. So that'll be October 28th.
For breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Learn all about it on page A3 of the October edition of the Prime Life Times or listen for radio announcements. But 20% of your purchases will be donated back to Great News Radio. So come on out, enjoy ice cream and great fellowship, because I hope throughout noon to 10 p.m. you'll be flooded with Great News Radio listeners, so you'll meet some of the Great News Radio listening family.
And be sure and say that's why you're there.
Yeah. Mention right. Great News Radio, then we'll get the 20%.
Exactly. Now, are they open year-round now?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they used to close.
Yeah, it's good. Esther and I think have been there three different times in the last couple of weeks.
That'll be a fun day for Esther. You'll just keep taking her.
Yeah, Esther, we got to go back. I go back for lunch. Got to go back
Dan,
for a good afternoon snack.
Okay.
Right. School's over. Let's go back. Oh, it's dinner time. Let's go back. So, and then finally, happening here again at the Great News Radio Center on October 22nd, Chesser Financial is helping host a Maximize Your Retirement Income. Attend this free workshop and learn five factors to consider when deciding to apply for your Social Security benefit. We filled up the place a couple months ago, and it was so well received, and so many people learned a lot. Doing it again. So that'll be happening on October 22nd, and you also can see the announcement in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, page A3. It's happening October 22nd. It's 6 to 7:30 here at the Great News Radio Center, but you must RSVP because we're going to have some good, tasty desserts, and so it's going to be a dessert month for everyone. You know, there'll be Jarlene's on the 28th. There'll be this on the 22nd. We'll figure out some other festivities.
I hate to sound plaintive, but I'm kind of waiting on the Casey's pizza you never ordered.
We'll work on that too. So the RSVP for the Chesser Financial Maximize Your Retirement Income, you need to call 217-352-5828. That's 217-352-5828 to RSVP or to find out more. And that's happening on Tuesday, October 22nd from 6 p.m. to 7:30 here at the Great News Radio Center. Well, I'm holding in front of me the October edition of the Prime Life Times. I love the front page. It's
really nifty.
Some Good News by Maggie Doherty Roberts. And that's a great story. But we have with us, as has been the case almost every month, most months for the last almost year or so, our very own Kathleen Jennings.
Oh.
the watchwoman on the wall with the email watchman on the wall.
Yes.
Very good
yes.
email address. And you're leaving for Israel in a couple of weeks, right?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, well, thanks
well,
for carving out some time.
Thank you for writing this column because you've got quite a following, and it was just a great idea from generation to generation. Character really does matter. A series by Kathleen Jennings. Well, good job,
thank
Kathleen.
You. Thank you very much. And this article titled Uncle Bill. We landed on Utah Beach, June 26, 1944, D plus 20. We were instructed to leave our portable shelter halves and personal equipment on the ship, and they would be brought to us. We kept our slickers. A road had been cleared of mines for a few miles ahead. Soon it began to rain. We donned our slickers, and carrying our rifles and ammunition, a K-ration, and a canteen of water, we slogged through mud until we were soon as wet as our surroundings. This, along with occasional small arms fire, was William Bill Calhoun's introduction to Normandy's hedgerow country. Living in Kansas City, 36-year-old Bill had registered for the draft and received a high number. Wanting to do his part, he decided to enlist in the Navy. It was January 1942. His physical was going well until the eye exam. He was colorblind. The Navy said no. He thought he might be useful in the Army Quartermaster Corps, but again, the answer was no. He was too old, and they just didn't want him. 2 weeks later, he was drafted by the Army. Bill smiled. I guess by some miracle, I had become younger, he said. I loved his wit.
Uh-huh.
He was so funny. Uncle Bill sold his car, quit his job, and made arrangements to be away in the Army. He was delegated to shepherd a group of draftees to Jefferson Barracks in St. Louis to report for duty. Every recruit was accepted, except Bill.
Hmm.
He returned to Kansas City and his job.
Now, how old is Bill at this time?
36.
Okay, 36 years old, and he had already sold his car.
Yep.
And, okay.
Then, in August, he was called to report to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Bill was placed in the Signal Corps and sent to Camp Crowder, Missouri, for basic training and message handling instruction. Taught how isolated units could use pigeons for sending and receiving messages, Bill also received instruction in map reading. He graduated from combat training, where trainees ran an obstacle course and crawled along under live machine gun fire. This gave us a real incentive to keep our heads and bodies low to the ground, Bill recalled. He would later attend two tours of training at the War Department Signal Center at the Pentagon. After a treacherous trip across the Atlantic, dodging U-boats and braving pounding waves, his group debarked at Green Rock, Breffinshire, Scotland. Quickly boarding a train, they traveled to central England, where they were quartered in a tent camp in the small town of Luxershall, just north of Salisbury. After they had relocated to Southampton, a date was set for the Channel crossing. A storm in the Channel delayed their departure for 7 days, but finally they and all their vehicles and equipment were loaded aboard a landing ship tank, LST, and they reached Utah Beach on June 26, 1944.
Hmm.
Bill's unit spent the first night trying to rest, sitting in the pews of a nearby church. The next morning, the church was a muddy mess, and we took up a collection for the pastor before we left. Temporarily camping behind a high, thick hedge, Bill's unit managed to start a fire for warmth and began drying out their clothes. It was so cold, we would take off part of our clothes, dry them as best we could, put them back on, and take off some more until we got reasonably dry. In the meantime, the supplies had come in. So the men climbed on their trucks and headed for an area where they could set up communication operations. From the time they landed on Utah Beach until late August 1945, they were responsible for providing their own means of keeping warm and dry. It was difficult to find a place with enough space where we could get our secret equipment under cover and still operate it. Several times, when they found a suitable building or area, it had earlier been used by the Germans. The equipment had to be under 24-hour guard, and if they were ever overrun by the enemy, with no time to move out, one of Bill's responsibilities was to destroy the equipment with incendiary thermite grenades. Fortunately, that was never necessary. The message center unit carried all their equipment with them as they traveled from point to point, setting up antennas and providing light and power for communications. As message center chief, Bill oversaw several separate units, code clerks, radio operators, messengers, and a large group of teletype operators. When operating at night, they had to keep all windows covered with blackout curtains. One night, while Bill was on duty, some blackout curtains caught fire. With no water available, Bill used a pot of coffee to put out the fire. It was imperative we didn't show light to give the German bombers a good target. We shut down our radio transmitters during air raids so they couldn't follow the radio beam, but otherwise we continued to operate. One night when Bill was on duty, they received an urgent message for a general on the peninsula near Cherbourg. The unit messenger was unable to locate the general, so when Bill finished his duty, he secured a jeep and driver, headed up the peninsula, located the general, and delivered the message in person. Bill's unit participated in the assault on St. Lo and marched through the middle of Paris on their way to Rheims. They were in Namur, Belgium, on the Meuse River during the Battle of the Bulge at Christmas time, 1944. Then it was on to Bonn, Germany, crossing the Rhine on a pontoon bridge right next to where the Remagen Bridge had stood. Next, they went through Frankfurt to Fulda, Germany, where they were on May 8, 1945, when the war with Germany ended. For Technical Sergeant William Calhoun, it was on to Marseille, France, and shipment back home. At 39, he was considered too old to go on to Japan. While he was waiting in France to ship out for home, the United States dropped two atomic bombs on Japan, and the war was over. Bill had turned down a battlefield commission after Normandy because he wanted to return to civilian life. He received a certificate of merit for meritorious service during the invasion and five battle stars for taking part in all five major engagements, from Normandy right through to Germany's surrender. When he got back to the United States, Uncle Bill returned to Kansas City, where he would meet and marry my husband John's Aunt Helen. After they retired to Springfield, Missouri, they spent time fishing, gardening, and enjoying their nieces and nephews. Uncle Bill wasn't the least bit upset when, while he was teaching John and me how to cast when fly fishing, I was the only one to catch a fish.
Now, before this program, I overheard you guys talking. Yeah. And there was a comment about the fish was maybe not even as big as the lure. Or
John,
what?
It was funny. It was a very small fish. John told me it wasn't as big as the lure.
He enjoys telling that story.
Huh? Yeah, and it was oh, it had this big mouth and was pretty ugly. It was really pretty funny. That's the only fish that got caught that day.
I think fly fishing's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So he was too old, quote, and yet he got a certificate of merit, and he was in all five major engagements.
Absolutely.
From Normandy through the end of the war.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And look how many times. He was so persistent. He was a very quiet man, but he was very persistent in what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he believed he had something to offer. Mm-hmm. And he did.
He sure did.
He really did, because the communications, as was told in last month's article, the communications were extremely important.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely important.
And I see you have a picture of Bill and Helen.
Yes.
Calhoun right there in the middle. Yeah.
Nice picture.
Wow.
And then there are also a couple pictures of the Normandy hedgerow country.
Yeah.
And you talked about, like, here in East Central Illinois or West Central Indiana, we all know about hedges. Like, oh, yeah, go out and trim the hedges. And there's,
right.
like, these
oh,
bushes
yeah.
that are,
oh,
yeah. you
these
know,
don't
on a waist
like
high or such. But you
oh,
were
no.
saying these are daunting.
These are daunting. They're very thick. They're very deep. They're very high. I mean, it was extremely difficult to get through them. And the Germans would use them as protection, as did the Allied troops.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in the picture, they look like five times higher than the men, and
oh,
they're very
yeah.
thick.
That's right.
yeah.
That's right.
Great
wow.
pictures.
Yeah, John and I made a trip to Normandy, let's see, what was it, a couple years ago, and we saw those hedges, and we thought, my gosh.
So that's what the hedgerows are about.
That's really what they looked like.
Wow.
That was very, very surprising.
Yeah. Mm. Good article, Kathleen. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Kathleen Jennings, a watercolor artist from Mahomet, Illinois, loves history. She researches personal stories of Americans who have fought for our freedom. And you can email Kathleen. Maybe you have an idea. You know a veteran or a special
yeah.
story. She can be reached at Kathleen, KathLeen, at WatchmanOnTheWall.com. Kathleen at WatchmanOnTheWall.com. Wow, Uncle Bill, a hero.
Yeah,
he really was, in such a quiet, unassuming man. Mm-hmm.
And how easy was it, because so many of us know World War II veterans, and there's fewer and fewer mm-hmm. of them still around, but to mm-hmm. get the stories out of him, was he reluctant to begin with, or?
No.
No, so he was pretty open to share.
That's right. And he's no longer living mm-hmm. now. But I've had his story for quite some time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we thank God for our yeah. veterans and those that
he's
serve.
He's living. He's
variety.
Alive in heaven.
Yeah, alive in heaven because he has a relationship, had a relationship with the Lord Jesus
yes.
Christ. I guess now he has a relationship
yes,
with the Lord Jesus
yes.
Christ like none of us.
Well, he probably knows a lot more than we do.
Right.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
Well,
seen
and
him in person, too.
And he and Helen met in church.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
nice. And
good.
Do you still fly fish or not?
No.
Okay.
I haven't for a long time.
Yeah. All right.
No
you stopped
trout.
When you were ahead.
One fish.
Yeah.
You beat
yeah.
them all.
No
yeah.
trout around here. I wanted to be on top.
Oh, right. Oh, that's funny.
Well, the October edition of the Prime Life Times is out and about in 300-plus area locations. Pick up your edition today, and you can always subscribe. Just give us a call, and we'll be happy to mail you 12 issues, a year's worth of editions for $30. Just call us at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Kathleen Jennings with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you, and have a great day and night.